Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Pamela Brewer welcoming you to this edition of 530, which is exclusive here to Mind Talk. 530 is a series about a gentleman by the name of Jim Brown, who has been a member of the Mind Talk team for the 25 years that we have been on the air. And Jim was diagnosed with mixed dementia on 5:30, hence the name of the program is 5:30. And I'd like to say welcome back to Jim. Welcome to the other side of the mic here on Mind Talk.
Thank you.
One of the things that we were talking about today, Jim, was that you weren't really sure what you wanted to talk about today. And so I took that as an opportunity to do a little research on my own about some of the resources that are available. Now, much of what I'm going to share is taken liberally from the Alzheimer's Association website, which is ALZ, as in zebra.org. But Jim, one of the things that struck me that I'd really like to hear your comments on was Alzheimer's has many, the Alzheimer's Association has many national partners, which I didn't know, and I'm going to assume a lot of people don't know. And the first one that comes up on their list is the African Methodist Episcopal Church, as working together on a nationwide effort to better reach African Americans and to provide the community with support and information. They share some interesting studies, which I'm just going to share a little piece with you, and then I want to get your take on this, Jim. According to this article, studies indicate that while whites make up the majority of the more than 5 million Americans with Alzheimer's disease, African Americans are about twice as likely as older whites to have Alzheimer's or other dementias. One of the things that I have asked you and the people have repeatedly asked you from the beginning of your 530 program is, why are you talking about this? You're an African American man. This is not something that is talked about in the community very often, and yet now what I'm finding is that the African Methodist Episcopal Church is doing work in this area, recognizing the need for certainly persons of color to have a greater understanding and awareness of this disease. What's your thought about that? They're right in line with why you wanted to do this program to begin with.
It's amazing that you ran across that research, because that's exactly what we need. We're so unaware of this condition to the point we don't know what to think. We know that there's things that are going on with us, but we don't know. When I say we, I'm not even we as black people. We know that there are things going on with us, but we don't know exactly what they are. And because we kept in the dark, especially as far as the research is concerned, we can't put any kind of clear meaning to anything that we don't clearly understand. We know it exists, but we don't know how to verbalize it. We don't know how to think about it. We don't know how to make it a part of our daily lives, because even though it is a part of our daily lives, we don't know how to verbalize it. So I'm glad you're talking about this in that way, because I need to follow up on it more, to read more upon it, and to find out exactly what's going on. And it helps me to understand better what's going on with me.
I want to talk to you some more about some of the conversations that you had, or actually one comment that your neurologist made to you, I think about a week or two ago. But I want to, before I get to that, I want to share some more about the resources that are available that, again, were surprising to me. The Mexican Consulate and Ventanilla de Salud is a program that is implemented through 50 Mexican consulates in the United States to help persons in the Hispanic Latino communities across the country. And of course, their goal is similar to the goals of the African AME Church, to the Alzheimer's organization in general, and that is to increase access to primary and preventive health services, increasing health coverage, increasing the supply and quality of culturally sensitive services. And, you know, I think, I recall, and we've already talked about this, but I recall a conversation that you shared with us several months ago, in which you discovered for the first time in your life, and you are now in your very late 70s, that there was a history of Alzheimer's in your family. And no one ever talked about it. No one ever named it that. It was just kind of a thing that happened. And I think that if we have more culturally sensitive awareness of how to talk to people from different cultures, how to elicit information from people of different cultures, that we might actually get more of the information that we really do need. What's your thought about that, Jim?
Well, you know, when you say there's a history of it in my family, one person in the family made a comment that that a lot of people in our family that may have had Alzheimer's or may have be suffering from dementia, and that says to me that it's been around a long time, but it also says to me that it's been around a long time in a lot of families.
Yes.
Not necessarily my family, but my family does. I'm not going to dispute the fact that my family doesn't have folks who across the years who have had this condition, but nobody knows anything about it because nobody talks about it.
Right.
Nobody knows anything about it. So because we don't know anything about it, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It just means that we don't know anything about it. And we don't talk about it because we don't know exactly what it is. We don't understand what it's about.
Education is so critical.
Yeah, we don't understand. And because we don't understand, so we don't talk about it. And if we talk about it, we talk about it in negative terms, which doesn't give us any information because then people stop talking.
Right, right. There's another organization which is entitled the National Hispanic Council on Aging, and they also are working to engage in the communities to recruit volunteers who, again, will play a valuable role in reaching out to Hispanic and Latino communities. And then the last organization that I ran into, which is probably by no means the last, but it's the last one that I was able to find, is SAGE. And SAGE is Services and Advocacy for Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Elders. SAGE is, in fact, I didn't know this, the country's largest and oldest organization dedicated to improving the lives of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender older adults. They, too, are working with the Alzheimer's organization to create initiatives and activities that will connect chapters together for training, for identifying and pursuing and new resources, and of course education. So I think what I'm saying is certainly these are places to begin to look. As I said, I have quoted liberally from the Alzheimer's Association website, which is alz.org. They have many, many resources there. And I would recommend that everyone, whether you think you may have Alzheimer's yourself or one of the other dementias, whether you're a caregiver or this particular organization is working hard on the behalf of so many. So I would certainly urge you to take a look at their website. There are one of the things that the doctor, your neurologist, said to you when you met with him a couple of weeks ago, and you were talking to him about one of your concerns, was he said, well, how much do you think this has to do with the fact that you're 79? And it struck me, and we've talked about it, but I do want to just go into it a little bit further after the break, that it's so easy to confuse what might be a natural, potentially a natural part of aging with something that is perhaps more than that. So I know we need to take a break. We will do that. And when we come back, we will continue this conversation about really how to kind of think about what's happening in your life that's different, and is it potentially aging or is it potentially something else? And that something else might not be Alzheimer's or dementia at all, but it's worth considering, and I think it's worth revisiting.
I'm not quite sure, but I do know that it's very important to me that I continue to involve myself with people and with things and with the world events and so forth, so that I can stay up on things. Without my cell phone, without the television, without my ways, means of communicating with people, I can't keep track of what day it is unless I have communicated with someone that day or communicated with someone the day before to tell them exactly what it is, because I'm not going to remember whether this is Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, unless I have see it on my cell phone or hear it on television that today is Monday. Those are the kind of things that goes on with me and my condition. And it's not normal for people not to understand. I think if I would ask you what day it is, you'd know what day today is. I'd have to think about what day it is. Okay.
You know, something else that comes to mind as you say that is that there are lots of aids, and you know, you can look under medical supply houses, you can look under mobility aids, because as you were talking about the time of day, I know there are clocks that have very large numbers, and they will indicate the day that it is, the time of day that it is, and whether it's AM or PM. There are also some clocks that will actually speak the time, day, etc., and there are some that won't. So, I mean, you know, there are lots of aids out in the world today that didn't exist years back. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue. My name is Pamela Brewer. You're listening to Jim Brown, and we are having a discussion about Alzheimer's and dementia. Don't go away. We'll be right back. One of the, let me just start with the point that you just made, you know, not being sure what day it is. You know, if you're not sure what day it is, but then you're able to retrieve it later, that may or may not be a memory issue beyond the fact that you're getting on in years a bit and for the moment. I guess the key thing is that if you can retrieve the thing that you're aware of, that at the moment you don't remember, that might not be dementia or Alzheimer's at all. That might be a normal, natural process that's going on. If you go to, I mean, how many times have all of us gone to a room and then say, now, what did I come in here for? If, as I understand it, if a realization of what you went into that room for comes to you, that might be different from you're in the room, you don't know why you're in the room, you're not quite sure where the room is. So there are lots of things that really do require our getting more information rather than being so afraid of that diagnosis. So I guess we're back to education again, huh, Jim?
I would say so. I am not worried about. I don't have many situations where I lose perspective and don't know why I'm at a place or in a situation that I'm in. I may be in one room and go to another room and not remember exactly why I came in there. But I don't. I will not know that room or what I'm in. What I'm in there for. If you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
Okay. So I'm not too worried about that. What I'm worried about is the fact that if you don't ask me what day is today, I would never think about what day it is until you ask me. You ask me what day it is, and I'll tell you if I remember. If I don't remember, then I worry about not remembering what day it was. But it won't bother me if I'm not asked to pinpoint that day. If you ask me what time of day it is, I very quickly can tell you, you know, that it may be 5:15 p.m. today, or I might be able to tell you something else. But I will not be able to tell you that today is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, unless I think about it for a minute.
There have been a couple of times when, a few times when I've noticed behaviors that seem unusual, and you may or may not have been aware that they were unusual. You may or may not recall that something actually happened. And I know that you and I have talked about that before, and sometimes you really just don't remember. You just don't have an awareness of that moment and that behavior.
That could be. It may that I don't remember it, I don't recall it. I don't know. I can't comment on things I just don't know. But I do know that there are times when you've asked me things that in my mind happen. I remember them happening one way, and you remember them happening a different way. That happens from time to time. But I don't recall a time when I totally forget everything. It may be there are times when I totally forget everything, but I don't remember those times.
Well, you know, you don't remember what you don't remember.
Right.
I mean, that is what it is. But for someone who has been so intellectually and socially active, as a social activist, as an intellectual, as a teacher, a trainer, a consultant, a mentor, the changes that you're now experiencing, they can be a tough pill to swallow sometimes.
It is, because you expect it to remember certain things and you don't. And I do get upset when I don't recognize, I don't realize a body of knowledge that I know I have, and I can't respond to it quickly enough for myself. It bothers me when that happens. But it's not that I forgot it. It's just that I just can't recall. I might be able to recall it immediately. But it don't mean that I lost that knowledge. It's just that the speed at which I recall it is slow.
And some of that, as I understand it, may have to do with the vascular issue. But I would say, from at least from my perspective, that the long-term memory is pretty okay. I mean, you remember things and people and moments and can really have a, you know, an engaging time and conversation talking about those. Another warning sign, if you will, that would suggest that someone is having some difficulty beyond, I forgot this thing in the moment, is when you have challenges in planning or solving problems. And what do you say about that? Do you think that you've had those experiences where sometimes the concentration that it might take you a little bit longer now versus then to figure stuff out or to remember it or to come up with a plan?
There may be times when when there are technical problems that I run into, it may take me longer to figure out a solution to a particular problem than it normally would have taken. And it may be an old problem that I had come across a long time ago. And to resolve the issue, I have to think about it longer and figure out exactly how to solve that particular problem. I mean, I've run into several problems like that on the computer where I had to really go over it several times before I could figure it out exactly what the solution is. But it's not something that I worry about, because I only worry about it when it comes up and I can't solve it. Software problems that I run across that I normally could solve right away takes me a little longer to solve now. Some of it has to do with the fact that technology has changed a bit, and my
just a hair,
right? And my way of solving it, my method of resolving an issue has to also change, and unless I'm doing it every day, I may not come up with the solution right away, but I will come up with the solution if I stick with it long enough. That's how much faith I have in myself in terms of being able to stay on top of things.
And I think that faith that you have in yourself is a large part of what allows you to even have these conversations. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back for a brief moment. So don't go away, folks. You're listening to Jim Brown, and he has been the managing producer, engineer of Mind Talk for these past and entire 25 years. We'll be right back. Another one of the issues that could happen for some people who are experiencing Alzheimer's is understanding visual images, and there may be some challenges with vision problems, just sort of in general. But in fact, you went to have your eyes checked recently, and you had cataract surgery, I believe. Your eyes are great. Doctor told you to come back in a year. I think doctor said a year, not sure. So again, because you have a diagnosis doesn't mean you experience every single sign and symptom of that diagnosis, and you can't attribute everything to that diagnosis. And I say that not only to the folks who are experiencing this issue, or really any diagnosis, but to those who are the caregivers as well. Everything doesn't equal everything else. That can be a challenge sometimes to figure out which is what. One of the things that I was amused about was the idea that if you forget how to use, and the example that's given is if you occasionally need help to use a microwave or record a TV show, maybe that's not a thing. Maybe that's you're getting older. As you said, technology has changed and things are different. It's if you have no idea how to use it or no idea how to turn on the television, that it might be something that's different. I was amused because people who know me know that me and cooking things have long been the bane of my existence. So that would not be a sign for me.
Yeah, I hear you. And the biggest concern that we should do, and not so we don't confuse people, is that I don't have those kinds of problems.
Right.
I know how to turn a microwave on, how to turn a television on, and how to do those kinds of things. Those are things that not things that I have problems with. But people who have no technical knowledge whatsoever may not be able to troubleshoot and find out how to get a microwave to work if they don't know how to. I can do that. So it's level of understanding that we must have, and not to just because a particular task can't be performed at the moment, to label that as a sign of anything other than what it is.
Exactly
at
so.
That moment. So I'm glad you made that point.
Exactly so. When you and I have these conversations, Jim, would you say they're easy for you, effortless, or they're a struggle sometimes?
Sometimes they're struggles because it depends. As well as you and I may know each other, still, you may pose a question a certain way that will not necessarily trigger my memory or trigger my thought patterns. And that can be with anyone. It's not peculiar to you and I. But it's also interesting that we should know each other well enough to be able to ask any question and come to any kind of thoughtful dialogue about that question. And that's what I'm attempting to do. I don't find it difficult. I find it interesting that I can do that. And I don't mind doing it. I don't mind sharing how I think and what's going on with me with people. Because I think the more I do that, the more people will understand what this condition is and what it's like and how maybe to do some things to help it.
Jim, how are we doing on time?
We now have just a little over 2 minutes to go.
Okay, so don't have a lot of time. I would like to talk about, and this is just sort of letting folks know where we're going to be going in future conversations. I would like to begin to talk about the potential progression of Alzheimer's and other dementias in the days coming forward, not for you specifically, but in general. And I want to do that in part because we're going to be taking a break from doing 5:30 for a bit. And we've talked about that, but you're looking at me with surprise.
Yeah, because I didn't know we were going to do that, but maybe we will. I don't know.
Well,
we'll think about it.
That's an example of a conversation that we've had.
Yeah.
That may have slipped your, gotten out of your memory banks.
I remember we did that, but I don't remember any specific conclusion that we came to.
Okay,
now
again, slipped out of your memory banks, and
now we have less than a minute to go.
So even though it slipped out of your memory banks, we don't have time now to put it back in your memory bank. So it's one of the things we'll be talking about in the days to come, folks. I do appreciate your joining us. I know that I speak on behalf of Jim as well. Thank you for your support over the years of Mind Talk. We will be back next week with another edition of 5:30. If you would like to be in touch with either Jim or I, you can always send an email to Pamela@mindtalk.org. That's Pamela at MindTalk, MindTalk.org. MindTalk is available to you on many sites, including the website. I look forward to hearing from you. The email address is Pamela@MindTalk.org. And folks, thank you for joining us. And remember always, if it's unacceptable, that's what it is. Take care. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm.